Welcome to season 8 of the award-winning Retail Tea Break podcast. My name is Melissa Moore, the retail advisor, and each week I'll be joined by industry experts, retailers and brands to dispel the myths, share their knowledge and give you an insight into the retail industry. Listen back to previous seasons on your favourite podcast platform, and while you're there, please do hit that follow button so you get to listen first every week. Watch us over on YouTube and subscribe to The Retail Advisor, because you've no idea how useful it is to ensure that I can keep bringing you the content that you love. And remember, sharing is caring in the retail industry. Share an episode across any of your platforms with your network. And if you're on social media, tag me, Melissa Moore, and The Retail Tea Break podcast. In the meantime, grab that cup of tea, sit back and listen in to season 8 of the Retail Tea Break podcast. A huge thank you before you go to our sponsor, International Retail Magazine. You'll find a link to the latest copy in the show notes. Each issue of International Retail is jam-packed with strategies that you can use immediately from the brightest minds in retail just for you. With the latest news and trends that are impacting your retail business, articles from retail leaders in the field, Q&As with global retail moguls, training tips for your frontline sales associates, and attention-grabbing cover stories from brands and CEOs that you know and love. Head over to irg-retail.com and subscribe today to your free copy of the latest issue of International Retail Magazine. Today, I'm joined by a guest who is a true expert in Irish retail. Her deep understanding of the Irish customer and ever-evolving trends has been central to her employer's growth and success. Since joining the team, she's played a pivotal role in the brand's transformation from just 4 stores in 1990 to 43 locations across Ireland today, along with a thriving multi-million euro online platform. Her achievements were recently recognised when the retailer won Ireland's Best Fashion Store at the 2024-2025 Retail Excellence Islands Award, celebrating the success of its flagship store at Golden Island Shopping Centre in Athlone. As Carrick Dunn celebrates their 60 years in retail, today's guest believes the best is yet to come. With exciting new brands, upcoming expansions and continuous innovation, the business shows no signs of slowing down. Anne Harrison, Buying Director at Carrick Dunn, welcome to the Retail Tea Break podcast.
Thank you very much.
I am so very grateful that you've decided to do this, and also just so excited as a shopper. And I always have to say that when I speak to people, when I love the brands I'm talking to, keen shopper, know the stores around the country very, very, probably too well, my husband might say, when you look at what's in the house, but delighted to be able to talk to you. But look, to kick us off, because your background, not only within the industry, but especially with the brand, is unbelievable. So look, in the time that it takes to boil a kettle, which I'm told is about 2 minutes, tell us a little bit more about your journey with Carrick Dunn, and I suppose how that's grown as the business has.
Well, the company, I suppose, is now in business over 60 years. I'm not working with Carrick Dunn for 60 years. So I joined the company in 1990. And initially I joined as store manager. My background was in business, not necessarily in retail. And I joined as store manager, and I suppose the role would have evolved then over the last 35 years. I joined as store manager in Ennis in County Clare. It was store number 5, I think, at the time. And at that stage they said they were planning to open 20 stores, and I laughed. Little did I think that, 35 years later, that there'd be 43 stores and that I would still be here. Certainly, I would never have thought that. So I suppose I worked in lots of different areas. I initially joined as a store manager. I went on to become general manager. And then I suppose my true passion was in buying. But it was good that I worked, I suppose, as a general manager. You get a taste of everything from marketing to HR to buying. But, my true passion was with buying. And yeah, I suppose that's where I am at the moment.
Wow, what an incredible journey you've been on. As you said, the brand has grown now to 43 incredible stores around the country and seems to be constantly moving forward. But what I'm really fascinated on, especially back in those early days, I had never realised that the brand started out, those first stores were very much predominantly tourist-based stores. So we were feeding the tourists coming into Ireland, especially along the West Coast here. I'm fascinated then, obviously, that over the years then, we've brought in the fashion, the homewares, the jewelry. So the brand mix has changed, and I presume then the customer has as well. Do you think that that diversification over the years has helped position Carrick Dunn to the forefront of the industry?
Absolutely. I think initially when I joined, yes, it was very much a tourist offering. The customer was very much American tourists. We were selling Aran sweaters that we were producing in our factory in Westport. And the retail outlet initially was kind of set up for the stock that was kind of left over. But I mean, as the company started to expand and go from 5 stores to 6 and 7 stores, we knew that that tourist offering wasn't sufficient. So we had to diversify a little bit. So that was a big, initially a big step. We started going out to trade fairs out to Europe. And we started introducing a little bit a broader offering than just knitwear, because people were coming in, they were buying sweaters, but they were looking to buy something to go with the sweater. So we were beginning to think, well, we could sell more than just sweaters here. We can sell coordinates and we can sell something to go with the sweater, or maybe a jacket or jeans or pants or whatever the case may be. And yeah, that was the secret to our success. And today, I suppose I would class us as like almost like a mini department store. In fact, in lots of towns where we're located, we're the nearest thing they have to a mini department store, because we can, you know, we sell fashion, we sell homewares, we sell jewellery, and we sell accessories all under the one roof.
It really is a one-stop shop. And that's what I love about the brand, knowing that I'm always going to find what I need, whether it's for me or whether it's a gift for someone else. But you do really sell to me to a breadth of a wide range of customer. But I suppose that must have helped you over the years, because you've had so much experience, because you're so used to meeting the customer. Obviously, moving then on to becoming a buyer, which to me almost feels like it's an elevated role, because you're pulling, as you've said before, on very different parts of the business. You have to know the business, you have to understand the customer. And obviously, this is all helping drive the brand forward. How on earth, you know, do you know what to buy, or where do you start?
Yes, it's a question I get asked all the time. And I think the golden rule is understanding who the customer is. I think that is the golden rule of buying. Because once you understand who the customer is, you almost know, and I picture different people, different customers, because our customer base is very broad. We've got almost 3 generations of one family under the one roof. So we can target, you know, the 30-year-old who's going to a wedding, her mom who's going to something else, and almost her grandmother. So there's 3 generations, and we target, I suppose, different brands target different types of customers. But that has certainly been, I suppose, the secret to our success, our ability to kind of diversify, and particularly when we started introducing our own brands into the business. I mean, as the company grew and expanded, it was simply impossible. If we found a fashion brand that we liked, we simply weren't able to get it in certain locations, particularly as we started to, you know, go from 10 stores to 15 stores. If we found a brand, the chances are they already had an outlet in the town where we were in. So I suppose about maybe approximately 20 odd years ago, we made that decision to start developing our own brands. And
which, and sorry to jump in there, Anne, but that's no mean feat. Like, you don't just do that. The process behind almost going in-house, it's a whole other process on top of running a retail brand or being a buyer. That's a whole other kettle of fish. That must have been an incredibly daunting experience to have.
I suppose ignorance is bliss, isn't it? It started off quite organic. And initially, when we started developing a private label, we started off with a brand called Jim Levy. And it started off buying very small quantities, and the reaction was incredible. We got such a reaction. And obviously, when you're bringing in private label, you're driving much better margins. So it was a win-win for the company. And it just gave us, I suppose, the fact that people seem to like the product and the sales were quite good on it. We could see the benefits of doing this. So we scaled it up gradually. And I suppose we started with one brand. And today, would you believe it, we have 7 private label fashion brands within Carrigdon.
That's like, it's unbelievable, but also it's incredibly rare to kind of literally be designing for that customer that you've spoken about, or 3 of them in many respects, but you're driving all that. So this hasn't been bought from elsewhere. You are, as you told me when we spoke a few weeks ago, you're driving all of that from the colours that they're seeing, the stories that are coming into store. And also, this isn't a one hit per season, which I think a lot of people would be, they probably know as shoppers, but actually, you know, most fashion, one hit for kind of autumn winter, one hit for spring summer. You do the complete opposite.
No, we work on both short-term lead times and long lead times. So certain brands would be long lead times, certain brands would be short-term lead times. So what's happening is, I suppose, effectively, is every week we're dropping in newness all the time. So in fashion alone, and that's just one department, we would be dropping anything up to maybe 40 new styles could be coming in every week. So we're busy all the time. There's always stock, as I refer to it, on the conveyor belt. It's either concept, it's either at design stage, or it's actually coming in and we're releasing it into the stores. So then on some of the longer lead times, obviously you're buying now for winter. So like some of the winter brands are already kind of signed off, and I'm now starting on spring summer 2026. So I suppose it's kind of unusual and hard to get your head around it, but at any time I'm working almost on three different seasons. You're working on the current season that we're in, you're working on the next season, which we're kind of finishing off now, and we're starting kind of development concepts and trend analysis for spring summer 26. So suffice to say, you're busy all the time.
It's unbelievable that you're juggling so many balls there. But I'm fascinated by this. So I suppose looking then, you don't need to tell us what you're looking at kind of spring 2026, so a year out from now, where does that process start? How does it start? How do you start developing, I suppose, a range or a concept that then I suppose the shoppers see in the store in a year time?
Well, you start by looking at trend forecasts, and they're available to look at. I suppose as a buyer, what you have to be able to do is to be able to analyze from the trend forecast what will actually work for your customers. So if there's a trend towards a very bizarre shade of yellow, I'll just say for instance, and you're thinking, oh God, I'm not so sure that's going to sell. The certain colors that always resonate with our customers, actually Irish customers love color. Certainly in a Carrigdon store, you'll find lots of color. So by comparison to some of our European stores, the colors can be very muted because they're blessed with different skin tones than maybe the Irish skin tone. So it's back to where I started off, understanding the customers. Our customers love something unique. They love the fact that these brands are exclusive to Carrigdon. You can only find them in a Carrigdon store, or obviously you can buy them online in our own website or in a Carrigdon store. I think that uniqueness and the fact that we have such newness coming in every week is a huge. People come in all the time. Oh my God, I'm just coming in to see what's happening. So you start with the trend analysis. I'm constantly reviewing what's working. So if there's a particular shape of dress or a particular style of dress or a shirt or whatever that I know works well, or if it's a classic coat, well, simply then we'll change the colors in that and introduce a new color for spring summer 26. So sometimes I have best-selling styles that I know work, and we're simply changing the color, changing the print. But obviously, I'm always looking for something new and something exciting just to change it up a little bit. We've got very loyal customers. We've built up a very loyal customer base over the years, and now we have like the next generation of, daughters are coming in and saying, oh my God, my mom used to shop in Carrigdon. I can't believe I'm now shopping in here. And they may come in to buy a pair of earrings. They might end up buying a dress and a bag and a pair of earrings. And then they might, if they're going to a wedding, they might say, you know what, I'm going to get the wedding gift in here. So literally, it is a one-stop shop. But that has evolved over the years. It hasn't just happened. I mean, that was all done on a very phased basis. And that, I suppose, it's our willingness to continuously strive to improve and to advance all the time. We never get complacent. Complacency doesn't sit in terms of, oh my God, we've got seven brands, we've got 43 stores. Quite the opposite. Every Monday, we have a trade call. We review what's happening last week and, okay, what's happening this week? What's happening next month? So we're constantly planning ahead with the marketing team. It's a very much, there's a senior team in place. There are four buyers in the company, and then we've got a very good marketing team. We've got an operations team. So there's different strands to it, like from the stores to the senior team. And obviously, it's all very much driven then by our chairman, Mr. Pat Hughes.
Which is lovely. And actually, I suppose as a shopper, I see that cohesion in store. I certainly do for Crent. I love that Athlone store, the award-winning Athlone store. I know the stores here, of course, in the west of Ireland, whether it's, Westport or Castlebar or even over towards Galway, your store's there. And what I find is that messaging is the same, that you've got that newness. There's that innovation that's always there. There's always something new to look at to buy, as you said, whether it's for you. And I've definitely been one of those people popped in for a wedding present and ended up buying the whole outfit to go, which I love. But it comes back to the fact you know your customer. The brand really knows and understands the customer. And I love something you said, and I'd never really thought about it before. Ensuring that she, so your key kind of customer there, she has affordable quality fashion that fits. So again, you're not just churning out these incredible collections, but actually, you know almost before you've done that, that it's going to be affordable, that she can buy, as you said, if she's coming in for one thing, that she technically is going to be upsold to buy an outfit, which very few retail brands can do.
Well, I suppose affordable fashion is absolutely key. It's a key focus. We're very aware of what's happening in the retail landscape, what's happening globally at the moment. There's a lot of uncertainty. People aren't investing in fashion for long term. They're buying something, they're going to a function or an occasion, and they want to buy something new. There's nothing beats that feeling of having a bag in your hand with something in it. We have loads in our wardrobes, but certainly people like that element of newness. So I think for me as a buyer, it's key. A key focus for me would be ensuring that something fits well, that it's flattering, and that when you put it on, it makes you feel good. So it might be the color, it's a combination of the color, the fit, and the price. If I can get those three boxes ticked, I know it's a winning formula. And you understand, like I'd be very aware of customers, and I'm constantly listening to feedback. If somebody, gives me some feedback if something isn't fitting right, obviously I tweak that a little bit. So we're constantly evolving and developing the ranges and introducing new brands, of course, as well. So it's not just a case of just brands. We don't just sit still with the same brands that we have. So we're sourcing, we're traveling a lot throughout Europe, throughout the world. We're constantly, I suppose I'm lucky. I see opportunities in lots of different places. And when I see an opportunity, I try to capitalize on that and see how we can adapt it to suit something within a Carrigdon brand. So it is exciting, but it's a fast-paced environment and it's not for the faint-hearted.
I can imagine because retail is fast enough, but buying's on a whole other level. And it's funny when you were talking about that, I have the image, in store at the moment, these incredible fleeces that you produce that have such a great story behind them. But as you were saying, in those gorgeous bright colors, you know they're going to buy. And I say they must be flying out the door because, again, they're situated, they're positioned so well within the brand and the brand mix that they're right there for the customer to take.
That was a new brand we introduced last year, and I suppose suffice to say it has been a resounding success for us. Again, I suppose I saw an opportunity there. Fleeces are almost like a hug, as I often describe them as. When you come home in the evening from work and you want to put on something cozy or you're going for a walk, and we've managed to source fleeces that are incredibly good quality at an incredible price of €30 each. And we just introduced lots of new colours that are very flattering for the Irish skin tones. People love them. And I'm actually quite amazed. When I'm out and about, whether I'm in Dublin or Cork or Galway or wherever I am, and I'm seeing the amount of people that are wearing these fleeces. So yes, but it's back to that point I keep making, is understanding the customer, understanding they want quality, they want value, but they want to look good too. So it's almost like everything has to fit into one of those boxes. So it is exciting, and I suppose passion is a huge thing. If you're not passionate about buying, then it's just not going to work. You have to be looking for opportunities, and it means a lot of travel, of course. You're not going to get inspiration sitting in an office. You got to get up and you got to get out there. So, when I'm traveling, I see opportunities all the time. It's probably the best education that you can get. And I've always been interested in fashion and creating something a little bit more unusual, or developing things, or seeing something where I can adapt it and change it and put it into a brand. So it is exciting, and yeah, it's something I enjoy what I do. You wouldn't do this if you didn't enjoy it.
No, I'm sure not. But I suppose along those lines then, and not to get negative, but again, knowing that the brand innovates so much and it's been driven over the years, over those 60 years, I'm sure there have been challenges. I'm sure there have been turbulent times in that respect. But of course, you've kept reinventing and innovating and moving forward. Any of those challenges, I suppose, stand out, knowing that you've obviously come out the other end there, but what stands out to you even over your own kind of history with the company?
I guess 2008 was a big challenge when the crash came and we saw a big drop in our sales. So you have to constantly look at your cost base. That's an ongoing challenge that any business has. COVID certainly brought a huge challenge for us when we had to close all our 43 stores and suddenly we've got 500 employees. But thankfully, we had just launched a new online platform. And I suppose the timing was it couldn't have been better. So we switched our focus, and people thankfully continue to support us and shop online. And I suppose our online business is something that has gone from strength to strength, and people use that to research, or people sometimes use the store to research and shop online, or vice versa. I suppose they would be the two standout, I suppose, challenges, big challenges that we've had. But I mean, it's business is a challenge, and even right now, you've got to be able to pivot and adapt all the time. And I think that's something that we're, as a team of managers within Carrigdon, that we're pretty good at constantly, pivoting and adapting and changing. Because if you keep doing the same things all the time, you're not going to see any big improvement. And it's about pushing ourselves and constantly striving to where we can improve and where we can offer better value to the customer. But the customer is at the forefront of everything that we do. It's no point if people think, it's what you personally like. Yes, there's a lot of things that I personally like, but there's also a lot of stuff that I know I can almost visualize a customer who will buy that. So whether it's a Voulez-Vous brand or a Palladora brand or a Jim Levy brand, or we've got Rowan Avenue, we've got Kelly and Grace, all these brands are talking to different customers. And I think that those have been the challenges. But I mean, it's hard work. It's a lot of hard work and effort and commitment. I think that's what makes it the success that it is.
And I think it must do, but it's lovely to kind of hear your passion. And I know we've mentioned that word before. And we keep coming back to the customer. This isn't about necessarily what Carrigdon wants. You're constantly listening to that customer. You've this amazing website. It's so user-friendly. It's easy for the customer to use. Fantastic social media as well. And of course, that marketing presence. We see you on the TV a lot. So it's that constant but cohesive messaging, which an awful lot of brands don't get right or aren't getting right now. But I think, as you say, that keeps coming back to the success that you know who your customer is, you understand what they want, and you're delivering. And I suppose on that then, with all the experience, with your background being so formidable within the brand itself, what do you think that secret is for the success of the brand over the 6 years?
I suppose the people are key. People, when I say the people, I mean everybody from the top right down. It's a domino effect. I suppose, Pat Hughes himself has incredible drive and enthusiasm and passion, and that has like a domino effect. So I think that's key. I think it's back to understanding the customers and constantly introducing something, a little bit of newness, and kind of there's almost like a surprise element within the store. So I think that's probably been the secret to our success. The growth, it's now become a national brand name. I remember many, many years ago, people would ask the question, where do you work? I work in Carrigdon. Sorry, I didn't hear it. Now it's almost like, oh my God, I love that shop. And when you mention Carrigdon, they love the fact that, it's synonymous with Irish retail. And I feel a lot of, sadly, we've lost a lot of big, well-recognized brand names in Irish retail. And there isn't that many Irish companies that are actually with Irish people. So it's like Irish people understanding the consumer and then buying accordingly. And I think that's probably been, we're kind of unique. We're Irish. We're targeting the Irish consumer. Now we do export as well. It's never losing sight of that, I think, has been our resounding success. Obviously, our online team and our marketing team, it's very much a team effort. It isn't, there's no solo runs here. I suppose we're all very committed to it. And I suppose I often use the analogy, it's like you're on a team. So you need the marketing people, they're almost like working as the forwards, because they're the people that have to, relay the message to the consumer. Like we work with a lot of influencers. We have got 300,000 people following us on social media. And that's something that has changed a lot, like the introduction of social media from print media. So it's very much about social media now. And I guess because we have that continuous drop of newness coming into the stores, there's always something to talk about. But that's what drives our business, is the newness. Now we offer very good value. We've got very good promotions and sales. People know that. So just, there's almost two types of customers. There's a customer who wants value, she wants a sale line. And then there's somebody who wants, that new, they have to have the latest and the latest style or the latest color of something.
And there's always something there. And again, I love the way that because you know the customer so well, you're constantly playing to your strengths there. You're constantly almost feeding what the different customer needs, but always there's that consistency there. And as you say, whether that's in store, whether that's online, But it must be for you then, as even a buyer, you must have to talk to all those different silos, all those different departments. You must have to keep, I suppose, all those balls juggling to know that actually the message or the concept that you've started a year ahead, if we think now about spring 2026, you must need to ensure then that that message that you have in your head to start off with actually gets delivered to that end customer.
Yeah, but that's why communication is absolutely key, you know, right from and sometimes when you have a vision in a brand, like the brand I refer to there, the Westquay, which was a new brand we launched last year. And I suppose for everybody, right down to the staff who work in the shops to understand this is the concept. And this is like it was a nautical concept, there's a nautical element to it, and then there's the fleeces. But it's really important that when it arrives into the store, that the staff in turn understand this is a fully coordinated range. So if you're buying like a jean and a gilet and a half zip to go inside it, that you know people understand this is all coordinated. You don't just buy one item on this, ideally. You're going to buy two items or three items. So, and in turn, when you're marketing it, so I work very closely with the marketing team, with the photographers, so we've got the right model, we've got the right styling notes, so that at the end result, so the vision that we're portraying on our online is exactly the vision that I have when I came up with the concept of a nautical collection. So yeah, I think communication and working with people and understanding it. And I suppose for me, when I get into a store or if I happen to be out and about and I see people, you know, dressed in a carry gone out, I'm thinking, oh my God, or I'm watching TV. I see it quite a lot on TV. It could be on, you know, a current affairs program or it could be on a soap opera. I'm like, oh my God, that's carry gone. She's wearing one of our dresses. So it's always a bit, you always get a bit of a, or you could be in church or you could be somewhere and you're thinking, oh my God, they're wearing carry gone. So yeah, I see a lot of it. And that's get a bit of a kick, I suppose, a bit of a smile when you think, yeah, that's wonderful to see how strong the brand has become. And there's definitely a lot of love for Carrig Done out there with the Irish consumer, that's for sure. Because we've, you know, we're all over the country, you know, from east to west to lots of stores in Dublin. And obviously online now, like you're global once you're online because people can find you and we ship to all over the world.
You must be so incredibly proud. Obviously, you've worked for the brand for so many years at this stage, but and again, it comes back to that word passion because I can hear it, I can see it in you there now. But you must be so incredibly proud of what the team is achieving right now.
Well, I think for any company to survive 60 years in retail, little did we think, you know, when the Hughes family, when incidentally there was 13 children in that family, and back in 1965 when they set up their first little boutique shop in Westport and Bridge Street in Westport, which is now part of the Carrigdon flagship store today. I mean, I think they had great vision when they set that up, and then in back in 1969 when they opened up a store out in the Aran Islands, and that store is still going strong
That's
today.
right.
So, I mean, the plan, I suppose, is it's always been it's upwards and onwards. That's very much the focus is at. And yeah, I am proud, but I'm proud of it. As we've a fantastic team of people from operations to visual merchandisers to buyers to the marketing department to our finance department. Like, there's a lot of people involved in this.
And I love the fact there you've mentioned Aran Islands is back open for the summer. Gorgeous store out there. 43 stores right now. I know we hinted at the beginning, expansion, like you never stand still as a brand, which is something that really excites me. So I suppose last question, because we could definitely talk all day. What's next for you, for the brand? Where are we headed?
Well, this year we're celebrating our 60th year, which is a big year for the company. So there'll be lots of different events, I suppose, taking place to celebrate that. The plan is to, I suppose, expand. We're currently looking at new locations. Nothing, we're not revealing anything just yet, but certainly the plan will be, I have no doubt they're going to happen. I mean, 43 could become 44, 45. Always looking at new brands and looking at, I suppose, how we can improve the brands that we have. I mean, obviously, in addition to, I know we're talking about fashion, but we have an extensive homewares department, we have an extensive jewelry and accessories department. So there's everything then is kind of complements each other. So the jewelry and the accessories very much are bought in conjunction with the fashion. So the idea is that when you come in to buy something, you're picking up something else. So I suppose we're constantly striving to become more efficient, to turn our stock that little bit faster. Like in any business, you're looking at your, you know, your cost controls and how you can become more financially viable. That's a real challenge. But certainly the goal is we're expanding, and hopefully kind of upwards and onwards is really is the focus for the future.
And I've no doubt at all that the brand will continue to flourish another 60 years at least. I'm absolutely sure of it across the country and globally online, as you've said, which is an amazing feat to have. But look, if you've enjoyed today's podcast episode, please do like and share it. It's an incredible story with Carrie Dunn. Delighted to have had Anne with us to share such an insight into what goes on, both in her specific role, but also, of course, within this incredible brand. Tag me, Melissa Moore, and of course, Carrie Dunn and the Retail Tea Break podcast, as I'm sure they'd love to see and hear your thoughts back on the episode. Listen back, of course, to previous episodes on your favorite podcast platform. Watch us, of course, over on YouTube and subscribe to The Retail Advisor, because you've no idea how important that is. Connect with myself and Anne on LinkedIn. Do, of course, follow Carrie Dunn across their social media. I will pop the famous global website in the show notes. So if you can't get into one of these incredible 43 stores, you can pop online and have a gander and a buy, because I've no doubt you won't jump onto that website without buying. And I'll put all the details in the show notes. And it's been an absolute pleasure. You know, happy birthday, Carrie Dunn, 60 years. Here's to another 60. But thank you for your time today.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you, Melissa.